Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 26th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Mr. Mike Wilson. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Oh, you read the same cue cards as Dalby. It is so nice to see you. All right.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
There you go. Are you ready for our question of the day?
As ready as I can be.
All right. Why are most manholes round?
Why are most manholes round? I'm going to guess that because you put a pipe in underneath them that is vertical.
Okay.
It's on the top of that pipe.
Yeah, I think that goes under the heading of nice try, but here we go.
All right.
Manholes are round because if they were any other shape, their covers might easily fall through the hole. If manholes were square, rectangular, oval, or any other shape than round, it would be possible to turn the cover so that its width would be less than one dimension of the hole, and this would allow the cover to fall through. This can't happen with round manholes, since the width or diameter of the circle measures the same in all directions. Of course, any shape can be used if the cover is large enough. The round manhole just permits the smallest cover. Yay!
Ah.
So maybe we can tell that to PG&E, so when they're cutting up our roads, they'll have... No, okay, it won't work.
Well, whatever keeps me from falling in the hole is great.
That's right.
I'm happy that they're round.
And a round also. Yeah. A little bit of excitement going on out on the in the harbor these days, huh?
Yeah. There was the announcement last week that the governor had put a line item in the budget for, I think, $11 million to help the port of Humboldt Bay look at and, you know, plan for upgrades to the port infrastructure to support offshore wind development. That's a big deal.
Is that pennies from heaven, or was there a submittal process that you're aware of that the port did that was funded?
Well, you know, I'm not on the Harbor District Board.
Yeah, I know, but you're still pretty involved. Just, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. I was on there for almost...
ever.
12 years. Oh, my God. Anyway, so, but I do know that that there has been discussions about, you know, we and you and I have talked about offshore wind as a resource and as a potential for Humboldt Bay. And the port side of that is extremely important. You know, the offshore winds we've talked about are these gigantic windmills that are 20 miles offshore. So even though they're as tall as the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, it'll be hard to see them once they're in place and they're floating out there, you know, tethered down to the bottom. But they have to be assembled, and Humboldt Bay is in a good position to assemble them because of the location to the wind resource that's offshore. But also, it's one of the only bay entrances that doesn't have a bridge over the top of it, you know, so that also makes it very adaptable. And, of course, there, as we know, there has been sort of a lot of developable or usable portside facility or space, and what it's been lacking for something like that, if that's to happen, is the facility part of that, the lay-down areas, the dock, you know, where the vessels that would be delivering the parts and where the crane would go and those sorts of things. So, yeah. So the Harbor District has done a sort of sketch of that idea, and it's more than a sketch. You know, it's been thought out a bit, but enough to know that, you know, to do any kind of real planning and development to get to a place where you might actually get into construction, you know, it's going to take some millions of dollars. The request was made to the state for that, and the state delivered or hasn't delivered yet. It's been put in a line item of the budget, and we don't know quite where that'll all pan out, but that's just sort of the beginning. Facility like that is probably, you know, cost you 10 times that. I think it's not just, you know, we're not in a place where we're in a different sort of place where we've been, you know, looking and seeking these types of development on Humboldt Bay. I think we're in a position these days where the resource and sort of the direction of the nation and the state with relationship to renewable energy, I think we're in a moment where we're going to be asked, you know, as a community to step up.
Now, Mike, with the location of this, as a coastal commissioner, I would suspect that was also a way that you could track this project. Is this just because it's being funded by the state, that doesn't necessarily equate with automatic approval by the Coastal Commission, does it, for the project?
No, nothing's an automatic approval through a discretionary process.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to go through a decision-making process. You know, I don't speak for the commission in relationship because I'm just one of 12 commissioners. So it'll be interesting when and if it gets to that space, how all those things are weighed out, because it is a pretty significant size project.
Oh, yeah.
to do, and it will have impacts. There's no doubt about that. So weighing what the benefit, the costs, you know, and the impacts are is going to be interesting. And, you know, as you know, there are many of us, and myself included, that believe we have a climate emergency, and we really do need to figure out ways that we can generate energy that, you know, doesn't produce a lot of carbon into our atmosphere. And so this is one of the newer technologies. This is definitely a direction that it's not just the United States, but other places are looking at in terms of floating offshore wind facilities. There's a real push, as you know, at the nation level as well as the state level for these types of infrastructure improvements. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting discussion. We're having what we're calling a drought now, which we can talk about a little bit in terms of its severity, but, you know, we're looking at real climate changes. It's, you know, drought implies that we're going back to something.
Changes.
We're moving forward to something.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Mike, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the project out on the spit and the money's coming. Well, the money's being earmarked out of the state of California for the, the windmill project. I don't know really what the technical term is, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
with that, the fact that you're on the Coastal Commission, are you able to vote on this project being approved, or would you have to recuse yourself because of conflict?
Well, it's the term for when you're talking about, like, different offices is incompatible office. There's no conflict because I don't own a
You're not direct.
Windmill. I don't own a windmill business, and I don't have property that anything like this would ever be developed on. So there's a term called incompatible office. But the legislature, when it created the Coastal Commission, basically made an exemption to the incompatible office law. And so there is no incompatible office. So, no, there's no conflict, as you would say, in terms of.
So you're able to vote on it then?
If it comes before.
If it comes before.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't know where you know, what path that's on, but no, there's no, right. there's no, no conflict related to that.
Now, are you able to advocate for a project, or is a commissioner able to advocate for a project?
Yeah, well, so the question I think is like, can I take on a role as a local representative and either advocate or not for a project?
Yeah.
And yes, I can do that to a certain degree.
Okay. I would have liked to have thought that anybody would be able to, because you've got more knowledge of the specifics. I mean, if it's in your territory,
you know
more about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There is that. It's just that, it's interesting because the Coastal Commission is often considered what they call quasi-judicial in its review of things. And so we try not to, as commissioners, prejudice our votes with a lot of activism on certain issues, that we want to make sure that we have an open mind before we deliberate on something. And so it's a little bit of a delicate dance associated with that. But nonetheless, because of the not having to worry about the incompatible office element of that, I think is we're good depending on what happens.
Okay.
So, it's going to be a long process. There's a lot of review that has to happen. Even just the port side part of what the district has been given or line item with the state, and nothing's been transferred yet in terms of funds. But there's just a lot. The reason it's going to cost a lot, to do that kind of review, is just going to take a lot of planning. There's a community right there. There are issues related to other resources in the bay, and we have to understand that even the construction of these
units,
large structures. you'll see them for miles around. I mean, imagine something the size of the Washington Monument basically being built at that location, and then imagine these things being launched.
It's gonna be cool.
The term I will use is like, well, the Cape Canaveral of offshore wind. Imagine being out at the jetty and having a structure the size, the height of the Golden Gate Bridge, moving out of the jetty and being able to see that.
Oh, I think that's going to be so cool. Yeah, it's probably
very
as close
dynamic. Very
for,
dynamic.
For us, as seeing a Saturn V rocket, on its little wheels moving.
Right. For instance,
yeah.
I mean, it's in that zone. So
neat.
It's a big deal. I think people really need to figure out like where they're gonna, get more educated on it. I think the community is going to be asked to do this by the nation and the state, and more than we've been sort of begging or looking for these sorts of projects. So it's going to be a different dynamic, and I think we really need to prepare for that.
Also, this time, it seems we got the dredge going, right, out in the bay?
Yeah. I'm not so sure that, that the ships used for the delivery of these parts are going to be the deepest draft ships we've seen in Humboldt Bay.
They're more of a barge, kind of?
I think we'll see a lot of barging type things, but also just these things come in as parts, and they come in as it's not like the biggest and the deepest drafted cargo ships you've ever seen.
Right.
But that's something to be analyzed. I'm sure dredging will always be an issue for Humboldt Bay. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether or not a project like this happened, we still have dredging issues associated with just, the export of our, wood chips and those sorts of things. It still exists. So I don't see that as being a bigger issue. The issues that we'll probably see that on the port side will be building the dock. What kind of impact does it have on eelgrass habitat?
That's why I was going to ask it. With the dock or docks, this is going to require one of those praying mantis cranes, right, to be involved also?
I don't. Yeah, I've seen, you know, you can go online and take a look at, you know, just look up the harbor districts of, you know, Humboldt Bay Harbor District, Samoa Wind Energy or something like that. You know, use those keywords and you'll see pictures of what they think this will be like. There are wind energy platforms, floating platforms that are being put together in Scotland for the North Sea. There's some great videos of that.
So there's some easy to see referencing then. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
alrighty.
We're not the first on the planet to do it.
To do anything. But, that's okay.
Right, right.
That's
but,
all right.
You know, pretty darn close, I mean, in for this technology.
That's cool stuff. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, one of the things that is kind of interesting at this point, and I don't know how to phrase it particularly because we've got different interpretations going on throughout the country, but certain areas are feeling comfortable with the unmasking, I guess would be the simplest way, or, there is no real phrase for this thing, but let's call it, if we can use that as a reference. There's a couple of states in the union right now that aren't. I think it was New Jersey, Illinois, New York, and California. Obviously, you know, if we've got Washington and Oregon feeling comfortable with it, I don't know, are there different standards that are being applied, or is this just personalities, or, the interpretation?
Seen, political proclivity has been definitely, you can see people
seeing
all kinds of charts about, you know, whether you're blue or red, whether you're more or less likely to wear masks in those regions. And then, you know, there's this cultural
there's
about
certainly.
That as well. And I think we are definitely in the waning days of masking as on a mass scale. And that's because of the vaccinations. Clearly, I think that, and we are seeing that especially in Humboldt County, unvaccinated people are getting sick. That is real. Vaccinated people are not getting sick. We've seen, you know, 40 deaths and, you know, hundreds of people in the hospital. And we keep seeing younger folks coming, being hospitalized these days and we're seeing younger people also having very serious illness. And they're all unvaccinated. That is really, there's nothing,
there's
no mystery to this.
Yeah.
You know, the fear at this moment is really for unvaccinated people, because when we lift the mask requirements, we're going to see a lot of people get sick, and it's because they are not vaccinated. It's important people understand that if we really are going to see, you know, the masking lifted June 15th or so in, you know, a lot of these common and public spaces, and especially if we're not distancing, folks who are not vaccinated are going to be at very high risk of becoming very sick, and some will die, and the only reason for that will be because they're unvaccinated. And so it's just, I think, you know, we just got to do what we can to get to that place. If there's anyone who feels like they need more information, Again, 441-5000, is the number to call at the county that can connect you with folks who can get you all the information you need. But the data is pretty clear. Even in Humboldt County, you know, we've had about 4,000 people test positive for COVID. About 40 of them have died. We have over 40,000 people who have had the vaccination, and none of them have even gotten sick. So it's important to we've had a few breakthroughs in terms of positives, and that does happen in these cases, but we've found them because they are in populations that get tested anyway, like, medical professionals and those sorts of folks.
What about the one-timers? That was a question that was brought up also, is that
What do you mean by the one-timer?
You get the double hit, right? And if you only get one and you don't take the second one, there's a perception
I don't know too much about the impact of that. I do know that you get some benefit from having one shot, but the full benefit really only comes after the second shot. And it is very important to do that and to get it done. There's a personal safety relevant to it, but then also, I think the other part about this is we're not really understanding is the variants that we're seeing, both from the ones emanating out of Brazil and out of India. And we're the one that's circulating right now that's getting people pretty sick is the one out of England. These variants are becoming more and more virulent. They're becoming more and more contagious. We also know that folks have felt like they are immune if they've had COVID before, but we're seeing that it is nowhere near the same protection from getting COVID again that a vaccine will give you. And we also have seen that getting COVID more than once, can compound. There have been many cases of, people having much worse symptoms on their second infections, and especially with the variants that are coming out. So, again, it's like your best protection really is getting vaccinated.
Now, part of Humboldt County's culture is kind of a little renegade involved. Has there been any outreach at all to find out from those who haven't, why not?
Oh, it's mostly misinformation. I mean,
it's not lack of information.
It's not lack of information, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Is misinformation information? I don't know.
it's a little too deep for this morning.
Right. That's a quandary. It's just really that is. I mean, there's some hesitancy. I mean, no one wants to get a needle in their arm. No one, sure, everyone's got a little bit of suspicion about everything, and then that's part of what keeps us alive as animals on the planet. But at the same time, I mean, the evidence is extremely clear about the protection level of these sorts of things. I mean, if I was to say, like, well, there's a, I've heard of a child that that choked on their food, so I'm not going to feed my kid anymore because I'm afraid they're going to choke on their food or something.
Right.
We gotta understand, what real risks are, and the risk is real in terms of this disease. And I'd also point out that we still have, the kids that are, 12 and younger or 11 and younger, they can't get vaccinated yet. And so we really got to do what we can and keep that population from also getting infected. Because again, the variants are stronger and we're having a lot of younger and in the teens getting very sick.
We'll talk about that when we come back. KINS,
all right.
It's an information time. It's 8:45.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Mike, before the break, you were starting to get, as we were talking about the vaccines, about the youngers. Now, we do have, 12 to 16-year-olds are now able to get the vaccine. Humboldt County seems to have a surplus of vaccines. Is that because we're at the point where so many folks have gotten it, or for those folks who haven't, that there's very little interest right now, and before those things go bad, they want to ship them off somewhere where people can take advantage of them?
I think we're in a place where, you know, the hard to get to folks are, well, they're hard to get to. I mean, there are many people that want to be vaccinated that it's just hard for them. Maybe that, you know, they're single parent and they're working all the time, and just finding that opening in their schedule and space is just difficult. Or maybe they live alone, elderly, or, you know, just don't have, just basically in, you know, not very mobile, or they live very rurally, any of those things. And I would say we have a team of people at the county that are working extremely hard to get everybody vaccinated, and they will bend over backwards to figure out a way to get you that vaccination or to get you to the vaccination. Again, that number is 441-5000. If you have any problems or desires or questions on how and when to get vaccinated, this is the place to go. 441-5000.
Send your money to... Oh, no, wait a minute.
Don't send any money. Just get vaccinated.
Now, you mentioned that it's difficult for some folks that might be working. I hadn't even thought about this, and not monitoring it either. Are there some evening opportunities for folks to be able to sign up? Okay, so there's that
there
flexibility.
There are evening opportunities. There are mobile clinics. There are even, if you are a business and you have some employees, you can call in and arrange to get the mobile clinic to come out to your place of business. So this is the, you know, they're just, this, we're just at a place where we just really need to, and understand, we, you know, we have a financial interest as a county and a society, because when people get sick, right, it's like it impacts businesses. It comes that, you know, when people are hospitalized, it takes the place of other people who might be coming in for injuries or other things. I mean, it, you know, people being sick is a big, you know, is a problem, you know,
it ripples
in terms of our economy and everything else. It's not just, you know, we want people to be healthy and happy, but, you know, there, we also don't want the impact into our medical system and you know, the functioning of our everyday society. We really want to get back to a place where this isn't the issue.
So question then, sir, is when are we going to have in-person supervisor meetings?
I don't know. You know, I think it's not that far away. We have some, it's interesting because we had in-person meetings for so long, and then abruptly we just switched over to the, you know, the online Zoom style. And there are some real advantages to the online Zoom style meeting in terms of access and some other things too. And so the question now is out there, it's like, how can we have the best of both worlds? It's not going to be easy. It's easy to say that, but to administer a meeting that's both in-person and kind of Zoom-oriented is going to be challenging. We just haven't done it yet, and places that have tried have seen a lot of difficulties. That doesn't mean it's impossible to come to some place for that, but it's just going to take some time to work out the kinks. It's just, like I said, much easier said than done.
It's a little bit different approach, yeah. And then the infrastructure associated with that, too. Because you know what happens, as soon as that starts, once that starts, then we're going to see you back in here.
Yeah, I'm going to work it. I'm going to get my flavored bubbly water. So.
There you go, baby. There you go. All right, Mike. We've run out of time. Thanks for the updates on the stuff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, All right, thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, well, let's make it a week. Let's shoot all the way into Memorial Day, the rest of the week.
Do it.
All right, thanks, bud. See you.
Talk to you later.
See everybody else tomorrow.